This recording is a service of the Allen County Public Library's audio reading service. It is specifically designed for and directed to people who have visual, physical, learning, or language challenges to reading traditional printed materials.
It's time for Guideposts, uplifting stories of faith, courage, hope, and devotion. When you're dealing with life issues, Guidepost Magazine is here to help. Coming up next on your audio reading service.
Welcome. This is Guideposts, and I'm your reader, Leanne Menzing, with the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Today, I'll be reading from the October-November issue, 2025, by Guideposts, and I will begin with today's article in the Joy of Gratitude section, the teacup. It was more than just a gift from my grandfather. No matter where life has taken me, it has come with me. By Sue McCusker of Canton, Georgia. A small custom-built cabinet sits just inside the front door of my house. It has five shelves filled with teacups I've collected over the years. Some are elegant. Some are just for fun. Some I've picked up on my own. Some I've received as gifts. Most of them have designs that resemble the familiar English rose pattern found in almost any roadside antique store. There are none I would consider priceless, except for one. It's a light gray cup with gold embellishments made of bone china so thin it's translucent. At first glance, it might seem better off discarded. It's chipped, with pieces missing around the rim. It's glued together in places and has obvious cracks. Whatever monetary value it once had has surely been reduced to a few cents. But I will never part with it because of how I came to own it and what it still means to me more than 30 years afterward. My grandfather, whom we called Pawpaw, gave me the teacup when I was 9 years old. It was always an occasion when he came to visit us in Nashville from his home in Alabama. He was a tall and stately man of few words, with a friendly smile hidden beneath his thick mustache. He had a quiet and calming presence about him that I, as a young, timid girl, was drawn to. On one visit, he presented me with the teacup and its matching saucer. "I thought of you when I saw this," he said, "so I bought it for you." Even then, I could tell this was no ordinary teacup. I held it carefully and studied it. On the outside was an intricate raised design of an Asian-themed dragon. Inside, a woman's lovely face peered up from the bottom of the cup. She looked like someone out of the 19th century, with her hair elegantly upswept, her expression serene. Papa didn't tell me where he got it. I guessed it was probably from one of his many excursions to flea markets or garage sales. But where had it originally come from? My mind raced with possibilities. A far-off land? And who was the mysterious lady at the bottom? Everything about the teacup was beautiful and unique, the very opposite of how I saw myself. I was just a plain, shy girl with frizzy hair. There was nothing extraordinary about me. Yet, my grandfather saw something in this rare and precious teacup that reminded him of me. Maybe what he saw was that the cup and I were both fragile. With my parents busy juggling a teenager and a toddler, I sometimes felt lost and overlooked in the middle. I was the only girl, and that added to my doubts about myself. Papa could probably sense that I needed a little extra attention and love. When I felt especially vulnerable, I would take my special treasure down from its place of honor on my bedroom shelf and hold it in my hands and remind myself that someone thought I was special, too. My confidence grew as I entered my teens, and so did my fascination with teacups, which I began collecting. Papa passed away when I was 18, and I was so grateful to have something tangible from him to remember him by. No matter where life has taken me, the teacup has traveled too, carefully packed, journeying from Nashville to Athens, Tennessee, to my first grown-up apartment in Atlanta, on to the suburbs when I got married, and then to Canton, Georgia, where my husband and I have raised our family. I've browsed countless antique stores searching for a similar style teacup, hoping to discover its history and where it might have originated. But I've never thought, ever found anything close to it. It's continued to hold a certain mystery for me. One afternoon, 10 years ago, I was having a typically busy day for that time in my life, my hands full with raising my 7-year-old son, working as an IT business analyst and running a household. I was rushing to finish the cleaning, my duster flying over the knickknacks I kept on the living room bookcase, when, crash! I looked down to see my prized possession, my vintage china teacup, shattered on the hardwood floor. How could I have been so careless? I knelt down and scooped up the pieces, heartbroken. It didn't look as though the cup and its matching saucer could be repaired. My treasure was gone. By then, I had collected more than 50 teacups. If I'd broken any other cup in my collection, I would have cut my losses and dumped the pieces in the trash. But I couldn't bring myself to part with the one Papa had given me. Even though I didn't know what to do with them, I gathered up every last delicate shard and put them in a small box that I tucked away in the living room bookcase. A few years later, my husband surprised me by building the narrow, intricately hand-carved wooden cabinet to showcase all the teacups I had collected. I arranged them on the shelves and stood back to take a look. Something was missing. My collection felt incomplete without the teacup that meant the most to me. I found the box with the shattered remains of my treasure and emptied the pieces into my hand. There were so many. Would it be possible to put it back together? I painstakingly glued each piece, taking my time to do it right, and patiently holding it in place until it was set. It felt good to make the cup whole again, even if it wasn't perfect. A few pieces were missing around the rim close to the handle, and there were cracks in both the cup and the saucer. They no longer looked seamless, but I didn't mind. I positioned the chipped side of the teacup facing the wall and displayed it in the place of honor in the center of the top shelf. From a distance, the cracks are not too noticeable. Only up close can one see the imperfections, and for me, they only add to its beauty. They remind me that while life's challenges have left their mark, I have emerged from them as the person God meant me to be, the person my papa saw in that shy little girl all those years ago, someone resilient and confident, rare and precious in her own way. Someone with unique qualities and talents to offer. As I watch my son grow, I know he will have his own questions and challenges to face, and I will try to help him find his strength and confidence, just as my grandfather did with me. The teacup is one of the few possessions that has been with me nearly my entire life. Whenever I look at it, sitting front and center in my display cabinet, I remember my grandfather's calm and loving manner, and I can feel his smile hidden beneath his mustache, shining down on me from heaven. Thank you, Papa, for your wonderful gift and for those unforgettable words. I thought of you when I saw this. You may not have known just how much of an impact your small gesture had on me, but it has helped carry me through a lifetime. Thank you. And now for a few answered prayers. Thank you, Lord, for the home health aids in my mother's life. Please continue her restoration and renewal. From Yvette. My fiancé and I met as children and got together now as adults, 40 years later. An answer after years of praying. Lisa. God sent me a grocery gift card and fixed my sink. It wasn't an emergency, but he did so anyway. Praise his name. Barbara. I finally had a breakthrough in my depression. Through prayers and finding the right doctor, I feel human and energized again. It took a long time, but God led me through it. There is hope. Kathy. These thanks are from our readers and website visitors. If you'd like to send us your answered prayer, send it to submissions@guideposts.org. Submissions, submissions, at guideposts.org for answered prayers. And in the here and hereafter section, what we all saw, a father's last wish, a family's doubt, and a moment of reassurance by Jeannie Hughes of Hurricane, West Virginia. My mother's ringtone awakened me in the middle of the January night. I fumbled for my phone and answered to Mom's panicked voice. Jeannie, come quick. Something's wrong with your father. Did you call 911? I asked. We're at the emergency room now. Hurry. I was already grabbing a pair of jeans. I'll be right there. My teenage daughter, Lindsay, came to my bedroom. The phone must have woken her. What's wrong? I have to go. Your grandfather's in the ER. I'll come too, Lindsay said. Dad was 87 and a lifelong diabetic. It was probably another episode of out-of-control blood sugar. He's tough, I told myself as we sped to the hospital. He had never missed a day of work in his 43 years at the telephone company, not even during the blizzard of 1977, which shut down most of West Virginia. He'd walked to work then. He'll pull through now. But Lindsay and I arrived at the ER to find Dad unconscious on a gurney, lying far too still. I thought it must be his sugar, so I gave him a hamburger, Mom said. He couldn't eat it. He passed out. A doctor came in so rushed that his lab coat flapped. What's going on? I asked. We're taking him to intensive care. He's had a stroke. The doctor hurried out. An orderly zipped Dad's gurney down the hall. The three of us followed, trying to keep up. Dad was taken into a room in the ICU, and we were told to wait outside the closed door. No one came out to let us know what was going on. Finally, the doors opened. Doctors and nurses filed out. All those people for one man? Not good, I thought. We went into the room. One nurse remained adjusting Dad's blood pressure cuff. Mom sank into one of the visitor chairs. Dad was hooked up to so many machines that tubes and wires seemed to run from every inch of his body. What's that screwed into his head? I asked. The nurse hesitated. He had fluid on his brain, and this will help drain it, she said. A doctor will be in shortly to talk to you. She left, and it was just the three of us staring at Dad. I think the machines are the only thing keeping him alive, Lindsay said. I thought the same. The doctor who walked in wasn't in a hurry like the other one. He sat and talked to Mom, explaining that the stroke had been in the brainstem and caused irreparable damage. I'm sorry, Mrs. Sparks, there isn't anything we can do anymore for your husband, he said. How do you want to proceed? Should we keep him on the machines? Mom looked to me. Jeannie, what should I do? Doctor, that decision was already made by my father, I said. He has a living will. He didn't want any life-saving measures taken. Dad had come to faith in his 50s, and he told me that he would live up to God to decide when it was his time. I understand, the doctor said. Someone will be right in to remove all this. How long does it usually take a person to... My voice trailed off. Sometimes a few minutes, sometimes several hours for the organs to shut down, the doctor said. The ICU team came in and disconnected my father from the machines. Once we were alone, my mom lashed out at me. You've killed him! He'd keep on living if you hadn't told them to take him off of life support. Who are you to say a miracle isn't going to bring him back? I knew it was her fear talking, fear of losing her husband of 50 years, but I couldn't help wondering whether there was some truth to what she said. Even if this is what Dad wanted, Lord, have we done the right thing? The staff got Dad settled in a comfortable room where it would be calmer and less noisy than the ICU. Mom, Lindsay, and I sat beside his bed and watched his labored breathing. I kept stealing glances at the clock quietly, alert to the slightest change. The clock reminded me of the clocks from grade school where the second hand seemed to turn agonizingly slow. An hour went by, then two. We kept watching. After six tiring hours had passed, I turned to my mother. Mom, he's always listened to you, I said. I think you need to try whispering in his ear that it's okay for him to go. I can't do that, she said. Obviously, it's not his time yet. I think Dad's only waiting for permission from you. Mom waited a few minutes. I was beginning to think she wasn't going to do it. Then she got up from her chair and walked to the head of my father's bed, moving slowly, as if gathering in her mind what to say. She leaned closer to him, and I heard her speak in a gentle whisper as she stroked the top of his head. She told him of everyone he would see in heaven, how his mother was waiting for him, and what a glorious homecoming it would be. It's okay, she said to him. I'll be fine. She returned to her chair. Was that all right? She asked my daughter and me. You did great, Grandmom, Lindsay said. My mom, my daughter, and I held hands, expecting something but not knowing what. Then my breath caught in my throat. Do either of you see that? I asked softly. My mother's eyes were huge and her mouth open. She nodded her head. She saw it too. A wisp of what looked like a white cloud floated up from my dad's chest and toward the ceiling. It didn't go straight up. It circled and swirled, hanging in the air for what seemed like minutes, though it must have lasted only a few heartbeats. The mist disappeared, and the three of us sat in silence, in awe. Dad's soul had been guided to heaven. Faith and Living. A Blessed Mess. I'd invited my new friend to church. I wanted everything to be perfect. Nothing was. By J.C. Nelson of Powell, Ohio. Church is one of my favorite places, but I was sure nervous going to that Sunday 2 years ago. My husband couldn't make it that morning. Otherwise, he would have squeezed my hand to reassure me. I had invited my new friend Chelsea, someone I'd met only a few months earlier, and her two elementary-aged children, Olivia and Landon, to attend our church in Dublin, Ohio, and I wanted everything to be perfect. Olivia and my daughter Evelyn were in the same kindergarten class and had performed in the student talent show together. While our girls had been practicing for the show, Chelsea and I had gotten to know each other. She'd share that she was going through a divorce. Even though we talked just a handful of times, my heart ached for her. I knew the situation must be incredibly hard for her and her children. and I wasn't sure if Chelsea already belonged to a church, but I felt a strong nudge to invite her to ours. I hoped it might provide her with stability and a sense of community during a difficult season. That Sunday morning, our church was hosting a pancake breakfast before the service to welcome any newcomers, and I was eager to make sure everything went just right. Remembering the long lines from the previous breakfast, I purposely told Chelsea to arrive 15 minutes late so we could skip the waiting. Evelyn and Olivia were excited to see each other, and my 8-year-old Tristan immediately struck up a conversation with Chelsea's 10-year-old son, Landon. I was thrilled to see my plan to arrive late had paid off. We were able to walk right up to the breakfast buffet. Then Evelyn tugged at my arm and whispered, "They're out of cinnamon crumble cake and orange juice, Mom." Even worse, we had to wait several minutes for the next batch of pancakes. Finally, as our group filled our plate, I looked around the room for an open table. And that's when I realized all the seats were taken. "We wouldn't be able to eat at the same table. Here, take our seats. We're finished," said a gentleman who must have seen the desperation in my eyes. He and his family gave Chelsea and her kids a warm welcome, and my anxiety lessened a little. Maybe their first experience here will be all right after all, I thought. But it wasn't to be. I noticed our guests didn't have anything to drink. I got up to get some water, but it took a while to find a pitcher. When I returned, everyone had finished eating and breakfast was ending. I was so disappointed I'd missed my opportunity to talk with Chelsea and the kids and get to know them better. It was almost time for the service to start. We walked down the hall to check in our kids for children's church. Why is the line so long today? And that's when I remembered getting an email about expecting delays due to the new check-in system. Uh-oh, the kids were starting to get antsy. I prayed the line would end quickly. Eventually, we got to the front, only to be asked to wait. Because it was our friend's first visit, it would take longer to enter their information. As we stepped to the side, I leaned over toward Chelsea and said, "I'm sorry about this," but Chelsea smiled. "It's okay, Jesse. That's just life, isn't it? We have to learn to be patient." What a relief to hear her say that. At last, the kids were checked in, and Chelsea and I rushed to join the adults. We snuck in at the end of the back of the church, and I found myself dwelling on whether Chelsea and her kids would ever want to come back. Words struck of the minister struck a chord. "Perhaps being a blessing to others doesn't mean everything have to be perfect," I thought. I'd been so fixated on a good experience, I'd lost sight of why I'd invited her to church in the first place. The second half of the service was as moving as the first. The service ended and we stood. Chelsea turned to me. "For the first time at church, I feel like I belong," she said. "Your inviting me here today was no accident." Tears welled in both our eyes and we hugged. In that moment, God showed me that everything doesn't have to go right for Him to do His work. Next time Chelsea and her family came to our church, I was no longer nervous. And now they attend regularly. One of these Sunday mornings, I bet we'll even get to enjoy some of that crumble cake. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This has been Leanne Mensing with Guideposts. I hope you've enjoyed today's reading from the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library. Thank you for listening.